Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 67 of Absolutely Intercultural. While in show 65, we try to explore the notion of different working cultures, in our show today, we are going to look at different teaching cultures, or the different cultures of teaching. Anne and I were lucky enough to be invited to the Volkshochschule Rhein-Sieg, where we took part in a very stimulating workshop day, organized for the training of their trainers. First, we listen to the director of the Volkshochschule, who has a strong vision and sees her institution as a privileged environment for learning, but also for social togetherness and direction in life.
Where the churches fail, the Volkshochschule comes in.
Then we listen to Mauricio and Andres, two South American musicians who played music for us, invited us to dance, to relax, and to bossa novarize our busy lives a little.
Lassen Sie sich bossa novieren. Let the bossa nova feeling inside come inside.
Catherine, one of the course organizers, reminds us how important it is to include fun in our teaching.
It's perfect if at least once in a lesson everybody has laughed, because laughing is learning.
And in the end, we, the teachers, are described in the darkest colors, and it sounds like teaching is not a culture, but maybe a lack of culture?
Teachers always want to have the last word. They really like talking, and they always
end listening to themselves.
Oh dear, let us start with some more positive notions about teaching and teachers. In my first interview, I speak to Mechthild Tillmann, the director of the Volkshochschule Rhein-Sieg. As a kickoff to their academic year, the Volkshochschule invited their teachers to learn something new for themselves in a wonderfully colorful workshop day, which celebrates the sharing of new ideas and methodologies for the classroom. In 24 different workshops, teachers shared their ideas about marketing, suggestopedia, podcasting in the classroom, and other subjects related to their teaching. Following the idea of teaching culture and the culture of teaching, the institution does not only teach their participants who attend the courses, but also they invite their own teachers to turn into learners and to improve themselves.
My name is Mechthild Tillmann. I've been working in adult education for almost 30 years now, first as an English trainer, and then I ran the English department of an adult education center here in Siegburg, and I was elected the director of the whole Volkshochschule in the year 2000. So I've been in charge of a very big adult education center for almost 8 years now.
And now you're in the middle of a big event. Please tell us about this. To reach you here, I had to come through a corridor full of people in between two classes, it looked. Is it classes or is it lectures? What is it?
Well, for today, we organized a completely new approach as a kickoff to the new semester. We invited all our teachers and lecturers to a whole day of workshops, 24 altogether, covering all kinds of topics such as marketing, suggestopedia, podcasting in the classroom, new media for all other subjects that are taught, and so on and so forth.
Right, so your target group for today, do I get you right, is your own teachers? You have invited them for a day where they can find out more about some subjects which are interesting for their teaching or for their organizing themselves, or what is the idea?
Well, the basic idea was, since we are in the process of quality management in our Volkshochschule, it was to enhance their teaching skills. Some of them are old, experienced hands, so to say, and they've known their business for quite a while, but they are really keen on getting new suggestions and ideas on their own teaching methods in the classroom. And it's not only the language teachers, but also the people who are in the gym and health education, people who run PC courses for beginners, to make their teaching more interesting, more easy to understand, more hands-on experiences, so that people go along with them and benefit as best as they can.
Now, in one of your flyers, I could see that in the past you did a European project which was called Teaching Culture. Is that your mission here, to create a teaching culture or a culture of teaching?
Probably both. I spent some time in England at the time when I was young and a student, and brought back the experience that living in a non-homebred cultural environment enhances your view of the world tremendously, and we would like to open that option to the people who are residential here in Siegburg. And with the excellent experience we made with teaching culture, getting people from all over Europe here to Siegburg, the final event took place here. That was a three-day workshop. We thought it would be a good idea to cover all these topics. And today I've seen there are 85 teachers attending the workshop day to day. And I should think that 20 of them are non-Germans, which is very, very interesting. The workshop that I held myself first thing in the morning dealt with marketing. And when you have a look at your target groups, an Italian society with the milieus we're talking about may vary greatly from that in Germany. So if foreigners bring along their own cultural aspects on teaching, literature, films, the whole lot, well, it puts different perspectives on the same topic, and that is a great experience for all of us.
And a great experience it was indeed for all the 85 teachers who attended the workshops, and also for the 20 foreigners amongst them who brought in their different cultural backgrounds and contributed to the variety of tried and tested approaches to be shared. I particularly liked the fact that the different teachers had contributed very concrete aspects to the day. So, for example, we were eating the soup of one of the cooking teachers at lunchtime, creating new marketing ideas following the milieu studies. We were invited to dance along with the dance teachers and listen to the musicians from South America. As Mauricio, one of the singers, had spoken about his mission as a cultural ambassador for his native country, Brazil, I could not resist interviewing the singers right after the performance. I asked them how they had come to Siegburg and what it is like to live in Germany as a Brazilian and a Colombian, keeping up their cultural identity through their music. Let us listen to Mauricio and Andres. Let us enjoy a little bit of their music and allow ourselves to be bossa novarized.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça.
My name is Mauricio Virgens. I'm from Brazil, and I'm living here in Germany for 8 years. How I came here to Siegburg to sing, we gave a recital of Brazilian music for maybe 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, and then there were some people there, and they found really interesting what we do. It's just this mixture of cultures, and we go just to the point, just to criticize what we find as not good, or what we find that is good, and how can I deal with it in our daily lives, and how can you live here in Germany as a Brazilian and Andres as a Colombiana.
Yes, my name is Andres Villamil. I'm come to Germany to study classical guitar.
When you play as a duo, do people distinguish when they talk to you that one is from Brazil and the other is not, or do you both end up being Brazilian?
I think we just can make it to work together without losing our identities. That's the point. Because we're living here in Germany, and we have to learn to live here in Germany with a culture. We both have classical backgrounds. The classical world is really like precise. You have to do this and you have to be good. We learn to do this. And then that's the point that we can just work together and we can understand ourselves and our cultural differences. Even though we are from South America, we are not from the same country.
How do you feel about that when here in Europe people put all these countries into one place and they don't distinguish? I had that impression when I was in South Africa that somebody made a remark and said something like, you people up there in Germany and Italy. And for me, this was not at all one category. Do you sometimes feel a little bit like that?
There are people who think that we in Brazil speak Spanish. Still. And sometimes I play with this with Andres and I speak Portuñol.
It's a mixture from Portuguese and Espanol and Spanish. And that's we talk about this in our recitals, and we just play with this because we think it's funny anyway, all the mixture of this global village. And then you cannot think that Brazil is really a country totally different from your country, Andres. It's
like... Now, you announced one of your songs earlier on, and you said, I'm a bit of an ambassador for my country. How did you mean that? Well, what do you mean when you say that?
Because I think that I could really understand. I'm into this German culture, and I feel like, as a Brazilian, I have the responsibility or maybe the duty to tell how our mentality is. And then that's what I feel like being an ambassador. But we are ambassadors of South America because of our temperament, you know.
Do you also have that mission to show Europeans a little bit what South Americans are like or what Colombians are like?
Yes, I have the mission because I'm born with the music. I'm very grateful that I can do that. And I will take with me and play since child. Folklore, so popular music from my country, and I have this mission to take with me everywhere and to do that because it's my identity.
And I think that's why we make jokes with all these cliches, because they think, okay, Brazilians, they come late, they do this and this and this, they only think about carnival and football, and I say, no, they just make these jokes. And otherwise, you have to make very good music, very precise, because you have classical backgrounds. And I think that's why you can just go easy with those themes.
Now, as an ambassador, if you could bring one message to the Germans, what message would it be? If you wanted to infiltrate the Germans a little bit with your culture, what would you think if you could just give them a little bit of a Colombian character or a little bit of a Brazilian character? What would you give them for Christmas?
I would say in German, lassen Sie sich bossanovieren. Let the bossa nova feeling inside come inside.
What do you mean by that exactly? How can we be bossa novaized?
Easy going, just not to feel too much stress. That's just life is already complicated. Let the complicated parts of the life where they are. And let's just feel the sun, feel the sun is not there, feel the music. If the music is not there, feel the love and the rain. And it's just easy going, take it easy. That's it.
Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o teu balançado é mais que poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
The musicians invite us to bossa novaize our lives a little and be more relaxed. The management of this institution of adult education keep their eyes firmly on the ball and pay a lot of attention to quality assurance in their teaching. One of their unique selling propositions is that they are totally devoted to learner orientation. Even fully trained teachers are encouraged to start learning again and go through a very interesting course of in-house teacher training. Mechtild describes the learning and teaching culture of sharing and appreciating each other's methods in such vivid terms that you want to become a teacher there and join the basic qualification, as they call it, but it doesn't really sound basic, but rather thorough.
We do try and convince the new teachers to join the so-called Basisqualifikation, a basic qualification for teaching in adult education, which runs for about a year. It covers 9 one-day workshops, plus sitting in by a peer and being monitored in their own teaching experiences. So they get constant feedback on what they're doing as far as methods and content are concerned, and they benefit from it greatly, plus the institution, the Volkshochschule Rhein-Sieg, benefits from a much bigger standard of quality in their teaching units, which are 1,000 courses per term, 2,000 a year.
I can immediately see the benefit for the institution, because I understand they are already qualified teachers before they come, and then you have to ask them to do another training. So can you give them more money or something if they do that?
Well, there is a certain refund for the fees they have to pay for attending this seminar series. On the other hand, the benefit they get from it is networking among the teachers. Plus, I myself was trained as a second school teacher for English and German, and still I had no idea of how to teach adults. So it's from my own background that I could say, even though they're fully qualified as teachers, they may still be different to teaching adults or different target groups, such as all the non-Germans that are attending the so-called Integrationskurse, the integration courses that cover language course plus culture again. And that qualifies them for their special task they have to fulfill here.
Now, I just attended one of the classes here, and I even had a feeling, I mean, I teach in a different institution, and I had a feeling that there was a slightly different culture somehow. Is there a culture of Erwachsenenbildung, adult education? Are there certain specifics where you would say, yes, this is really very different from a school, or this is different from a university? Are there some indicators?
Well, I should think that a overall atmosphere of learner orientation, meaning that we appreciate them to be here in the first place. They do it deliberately. They take their free time off. They pay for it. So that makes a whole lot of a difference to primary, secondary school teaching. And it also differs from university teaching because these people are not striving for a certificate to get into a business life, to start a career. They do it for their own benefit. And that sort of creates a mutual atmosphere of appreciating each other. And thus, the methods vary.
Can we also say that there is some kind of community building going on?
Yes. From my own experience, I could say if people have been attending an English conversation class, for instance, they become friends, more or less. And let's say something happens in the family, a husband getting lethally ill and finally dying. The whole group would go through with that particular person with her or him. And that is strengthening. It gives a lot of social support. And sometimes I say, where the churches fail, the Volkshochschule comes in, because it is a venue for social gathering, just as much, in many cases, as for learning.
I really like this idea of educational environment, which is both a venue for social gathering as well as for learning. I'm afraid that often the social aspect of togetherness is a little neglected in our postmodern concepts of e-learning and blended learning, but even in the face-to-face classrooms. As the name suggests, adult education often deals with learners who are more mature and have already gone through different learning phases in their lives. Catherine, one of the new staff at VHS Rhein-Sieg, tells us how these previous learning experiences of the participants can be a challenge for the teachers. Learners seem to expect the same learning culture which they got used to when they were learners for the first time years ago. However, one aspect seems to be important to all learners, that they seem to learn faster if they're having fun.
Our target group really is very different. Most of them are a lot older in the language courses. They might be between 40 and 60 something. There are younger participants and older participants too, but they don't learn as spontaneously anymore as children do. So for them to forget structures and to forget that learning is a pain is a lot harder than it might be for children.
So are you saying that they come to the classroom already with an idea of what teaching and learning should be like?
Yes, well, they come in the classroom with an idea of what teaching was like when they were younger. So a 60-year-old person comes in and thinks he's going to be presented grammar structures and that in the classroom the teacher is going to speak German, explains a foreign language in German, which we try not to do. So that's a challenge for those who teach, and it is a challenge for those who have to accept that new method.
Now, when you look at a class, what do you want to achieve in a classroom?
I want to achieve fun. It's perfect if at least once in a lesson everybody has laughed, because laughing is learning. And if everybody speaks, no matter if he is very talented or not, so speaking without fear and with fun, that would be my aim.
Now, you worked in a different institution before, or you were trained in a different institution, which was a school, and now adult education. Do you suddenly find that this is a new culture?
Yes and no. I don't think they look differently. Some of them have been teachers or actually are teachers also at schools. So I wouldn't say they are completely different. But at the average school, it is an institution. It is a governmentally ruled institution with very serious certificates in the end. So the organization is different. Here we don't have to write tests unless the participants want to, which is very gratifying, because my students at school, they would just ask me, is that important for the test? And if I said, no, it isn't, they would just not learn. So the fun part here is that tests are no topic at all.
Gosh, I wish I could say that in my own university life, tests are no topic at all. I really have the feeling that this would completely change the relationship between students and their lecturers. In my next interview, I spoke to Efi from Belgium and Linda from Germany. They both work in adult education, and I asked them in how far adult education creates its own culture. I'm not sure how, but within minutes we were talking about gender issues and how adult education, just like health services, seem to attract women with a strong impulse to help.
I always say I never left school. I stayed in school all my life. And perhaps I will stay in school. But
that's interesting. Is there a difference culturally, you would say, between school, like school for school children, and school in adult education? Do you notice differences in rules?
Yes, many differences. I think that the value of adult education is in society not that high. And that's really a pity for me working in adult education. Right. Mm-hmm. So people, they know that children are going to school and then they have a degree, perhaps at university. And then that was the education and lifelong learning. That's something I want to promote, but it's not always easy.
Right. Now, my wife also works for adult education. And I sometimes even sort of recognize her friends before I'm introduced to them, because they have a certain style, they dress in a certain way. And do you notice that when you are in the system, or do you only notice that when you're the husband and you look at it from the other side?
But teachers always want to have the last word. They really like talking and they always...
And listening to themselves.
Yeah.
Just don't only like talking, but also listening to themselves.
Are both your parents in adult education?
No, my father is a technical drawer, so he's the complete opposite to my mother. But I have one more point how you can definitely figure out if somebody is working in adult education, because I think that's a field in which almost only women work. So it's a very female job. As you saw today, there are almost 90% women, and I think that this is sometimes a difficulty, because due to the fact that many children grow up in...
Go ahead. Yeah, but we need the male input.
Yes. Yes, we definitely do, because I think many children grow up in families which divorce, and so they lack the male perspective, and then they go to schools where almost only women, and then if they do further education, adult education, again, they are only very strong and powerful
in
women.
In kindergarten too, yeah. Only women, yeah. And then I think it's not good for both boys and girls, always teachers and all women.
Of course, it's generalizing very much, but I feel that when I... But I feel that when I go into an institution like this one, as a speaker, for example, the room is much nicer than when I go into a business. Do you think that this could be this female touch, if we are allowed to be so general?
From my point of view, I'd say that's much too gendered, because mm-hmm. I think nowadays not only women have a look for nice details. I wouldn't define it like that. It's more than women are more attracted by jobs in the social sphere. They are not that profit-maximizing thinking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they just think that this might be a good thing to teach children, to teach adults. So, I don't know. I think there's still a little bit a difference between what attracts
Okay, so men. You think their mission is to do something good?
Yes.
And so they feel attracted to these fields?
And as for me, I'm now at that point that I really like working with people with other professions, because they have a different point of view, and that's really an enrichment for the work for language teachers. To get another point of view and another input is really necessary when you were too long in the language department.
Yeah, I think if you sometimes go to meetings and they're mainly women and then they all have a pedagogic background, these discussions lack a business view, a marketing view, because women are in a way too soft. They always want to talk and they want to understand. There's nobody who says, well, listen, we've got only that budget, so we have to do whatever. So I think my statement would be, we need more men in adult education. Yeah.
We need more men in adult education. Isn't this weird? While institutions of adult education are mostly run by strong women with a mission, my own university department, which is also an educational institution where we teach adults, has the opposite problem. We only have one female professor. And this is not just anecdotal statistics, but I'm sure that the same is true for most business departments at most universities. Now, this may not mean that we have come to the end of the world, but to the end of the show. It was very interesting to compare the different learning cultures and cultures of learning across different institutions. I was lucky to participate in the workshop day at the Volkshochschule and be inspired by their particular teaching culture. If you are inspired after listening to this podcast episode and want to share your own international experiences, or if you just want to give us feedback about our show, please feel free to visit our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com and leave a comment. We are thankful for every response, be it criticism or support for our show. Or maybe you have some suggestions as to which intercultural topics Anne and I should bring up in one of our next shows. Please don't be shy, just tell us. We will leave you with a little piece of guitar music by Mauricio and Andres. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 17th of October. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural. Absolutely intercultural.